Welcome to the Small Business Podcast with David Michaels and Daniel Miller. This week, we've got a fun one for you. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and one of the things that they brought up was data security. Now, while we did not get the whole data security thing, we thought it'd be nice to talk about things you need to think about on the back end when you're dealing with computer-oriented stuff, and things you should take into effect when you have to deal with customers. But first, David.
Daniel.
How are you doing?
I am feeling much better. I caught a little cold over the weekend, and it kind of, you know, knocked me off my feet for a day or two, but I'm back.
Yeah, my beautiful fiance had that same problem. She was knocked off her feet on Monday for a cold of some sort. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, half the people I know have been sick. There's something just going around, normally I don't get sick. It's like, since I started, like, eating healthier and been more, like, happy in life and things like that, like, I just didn't get sick anymore. But I know exactly why this came, because it was going around, I was really stressed about something, and I wasn't eating very healthy, and all at the same time, it just kind of, it caught me at a weak moment.
Or you could have gotten a slight strain of H1N1.
Possibly. If I did, my body killed it off in a day and a half. So
now you are stronger. You are now the alpha male of the H1N1 survivor rate.
That's right. I eat H1N1 for breakfast.
You do. But let's go ahead
and move on. It makes a nice frosting on my cereal.
I don't know if it's a frosting. I think you would have a penicillin thing on there, like some fungi or something. And I just don't know how anybody comes up with that as an option. So, David, we both run online web businesses.
That's correct.
We were just discussing beforehand about doing this topic, and we were having in the show notes a discussion about the fact that, well, I'm fine, was what your comment was. And I said, well, do you have your stuff online? And you went,
Well, yeah, because you were saying, you know, if we're using cloud computing, which is this new emerging thing that everyone's getting all excited about, that's really been in talks for years, but it's just now starting to see reality, I guess. And do you wanna tell people what cloud computing is real quick?
Well, let's walk through the different ways that we can interact as a web merchant. Let's start from there.
Okay.
The first is that when you buy, you have a couple of ways of being a presence on the web. Is the search engine online tool or search engine online marketing tool that they describe it as. Your presence on the web is what it is.
Yes.
The first of them is you can actually set up a website and then host it. Basically, what you're doing is you can host it on your own computer. Basically, what you're doing is all the files, all the security, everything is done from your computer that you have sitting right next to you. That's option A. But that takes a lot of work to go ahead and set that up. And sometimes your local internet service provider is not going to be too happy about that you're running a business off the side of your computer. Because especially if you're running a residential account and you're running a commercial product.
And you have to leave your computer on 24/7, because if your computer's off, no one can access it.
That's right. So you have to have 99 or 100% uptime, so in case a customer comes to your website, they want to use it. Well, that proves a little bit challenging for most people. So what you can do is you can buy a web hosting service. And that's where you hear people say, oh, I'll give you a web hosting service for X99 or anything in that area. And in doing that, you then allow them to provide you with the same thing as if you have your computer right here, and then you go ahead and use their web service to go ahead and provide your web pages. But then comes the other alternative. Okay, I'm sorry. With the web hosting, you are putting your data into your own little folder that they assign to you. With the next step up, which is cloud computing, it's similar to the web hosting, except you're putting all of your information and all of your data is organized by another firm. What I have with Shopify is basically a cloud computing solution. I don't have any web hosting. It's all done by Shopify, and they basically host it all on their server. And so you have these three different versions. Now, David, which one do you have? And talk about why you chose that way.
Well, I have the second one. My dad, interestingly enough, you know, he works at Sun Microsystems, so he's been a computer guy all my life, and at one point he actually had a little server in the house, partly so that, you know, he's telecommuting and stuff, you know, he needs that all set up. So, but he had a commercial line that, you know, he had to pay for, and, you know, higher bandwidth. He actually had a frame relay or something like that. I don't remember what it was called. It was faster than any modems that were on the market publicly at that point. And, you know, it was kind of like what our high-speed internet connections like are now when everyone else was still on dial-up.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. And even that, he said, wasn't the fastest stuff that existed. But, you know, just for his simple server that he needed, it was fine. And he actually set up for the family a little in-house network going out through that server to the outside world kind of thing. And I was one of the first kids in my class to have an email address. Because this is all before he worked at Sun Microsystems. This is another company that went out of business, I believe. I don't know if they're still in business or not. They're probably on their way out if they're not already.
Sun Microsystems?
No, Sun is doing fine. Well, they got bought out by Oracle.
That's right.
But no, the previous company, when my dad had this in-house server set up, that was some other little company that kept getting bought out and kept laying people off, and it was a nightmare.
Aw.
Yep, so, anyways, yeah, I had my own little email address, and then we get forward that way, and he'd route it to my individual computer, so it was pretty cool, but,
But that's one of the things you need to take into account when you're doing this web hosting, is that if you host it at your house, you do need to note that you have a residential or commercial program.
Right, and you need the high-speed connection. You need, like, the server he had was a really basic, simple one. And I think he said he could have 1,000 users logged in independently, all doing different stuff on the system at the same time.
Cool.
Which, you know, to you and me, you're like, wow, 1,000 people at once, that's awesome. But if you're building a web business, yeah, starting out, you may not have to deal with that. But you're hoping one day you're going to have that or more. Amazon.com, I'm sure, is doing a lot more than 1,000 people at any given moment.
I'm pretty sure, because they're dealing with worldwide incidents. They have places in Amazon.com, Amazon.co.uk. Let's just go ahead and give out a plug for them as we're at it. But yeah, so you have that option where you try and host it yourself, and that's where you start having to look at doing that way.
It's just it's real expensive because you have to buy the hardware, you have to buy the connection, you have to pay for the bandwidth, the line going out, you know, to the outside world. You got to know your technical stuff. It's complicated. It's expensive, but you're in total control.
So of your data.
Yes, of your data, of your server. If anyone is hacking in, if the server goes down, you are the person to take care of it. Now, option B is, the second one you mentioned, is what I have. That's where another company has a server. They're doing all that stuff, and they sell off a piece of it to individual people who want to host their websites there. So my server is actually based out of Southern California, I believe, and I just paid them a small annual fee. And they give me like 900 megabytes of space to use, plus 35 gigs of bandwidth. I mean, I never use it up. It's ridiculous. And for that small fee I'm paying them, I get my domain name. You just type in spiritualsmarts.com, and it takes you to that section of their server as if it was my own. But, in fact, lots of other people are having their own websites sharing on that same server.
And then finally we have the cloud computing option, which is what I have with the Shopify, which is just me telling them what I want to have on the store, and they have all the options put together, and they make it happen for me. So those are the different ways. And now the next step that we wanted to talk about is the actual concerns that you have from a data management system. So with the cloud computing, cloud computing and the web hosting, you're trusting someone else. So if someone gets into, let's say, for my situation with the cloud computing, let's say someone hacks into Shopify.com and they take everyone's data, every single seller there. Who do you think is responsible for notifying the customers? And when I mean the customers, I mean not the Shopify telling the business owners or business runners. I mean the customers.
Probably Shopify notifies you because you're their customer, and then you have to notify all of your customers.
Exactly. So I'm having to go and tell all my customers that that happened that way.
That's exciting, and that looks good on you and your business, I'm sure.
Oh, let me tell you. It hasn't happened to me. I hope not. But as I was saying, I was listening to a podcast about that. It made me think. It went, oh, my gosh. And so, actually, as a business, you're supposed to have in place some sort of mitigation strategy where you go and say, oh, my gosh, we've been robbed or we've had our data stolen. What do we do now? And basically, they do say tell your customers or other things. But we're not going to delve into that because I don't have all the information on it. If you want more information, you can look online for what to do if you do have a data breach. We just want to bring up these as concerns and things you might want to think about as a small business owner.
I actually had one time where I was the one getting notified that my personal information might have been stolen. Years ago, long time ago, I worked at like Busch Gardens, and which was kind of a fun experience, actually. And it's a theme park, if anyone's not familiar. Everyone should know Busch Gardens, right? They're not as big as Disney, but they're big.
If not, you should come visit.
Yeah. And recently, like this past summer or something, I got a letter in the mail saying, hey, we just wanted to make you aware. We don't think there's any problem, but over the weekend, someone had broken into the office and stole some computers. And on those computers were encrypted information about all previous employees, information for our files. And it said, you know, we're sure you'll be fine. You know, the stuff was securely encrypted. We're investigating this and we're going to find and all that. So there's nothing to worry about. But we just want to make you aware that there is a small chance something like that did happen. So, like, if you have any questions, you know, call this number or blah, blah, blah. Here's where you can check on the update. And that was that, and nothing ever happened. It was fine. You know, they did the smart thing of encrypting all the sensitive information. So in case it ever was stolen, it's going to be next to impossible for someone to make sense of it.
And that encrypting the data is an important thing.
Which there's lots of software that'll do that for you. So just another thing you look up and consider with your business. Now, for something like me, it's kind of interesting. Like, half the information is through, like, PayPal, because they're the ones that are processing the actual credit card information. So I know it's encrypted on their end, and that's all secure. But the person's, like, name and address, you know, like, if I'm shipping something to them, they got to fill that in. That is kept on the server. So none of their financial information, you know, no credit cards, anything like that is on the server. I don't see that. I just see so-and-so bought this product, paid this amount, you need to ship it to them. Done, you know. So, you know, PayPal is a professional business that takes care of this. I'm sure they've got plenty of security measures themselves. But if someone had stolen off my server, then potentially someone could have your name and address and send you junk mail.
But as a business owner, going back to what you're saying about having PayPal as our intermediary merchant processor, you have to still be on the lookout. You have now two different ways of how we can have data get stolen. You can have the data internally get stolen because they tell you here's where you need to ship it to, so you have all the addresses and fun stuff on your home on the hosted web server. Then you also have PayPal, which is our merchant service, who they also have data of your customers, so you have to watch out for that.
Now, part of your security measures that you do is when you're finding a web host or however you're setting up, you look for someone who has security measures in place so this never becomes an issue. You don't want some kid in his garage starting up a server and giving you a great deal and there's no security and any hacker can get in there and get at it. We don't want to worry people. Most servers out there are actually pretty safe. You'd have to have a pretty determined hacker try really hard to get into most servers these days. But at the same time, nothing is impossible.
Exactly. And so you just have to make sure that you do have some sort of plan in place. And I was listening to going back to that podcast I was listening to, you can't have the plan be in the back of someone's car. That was actually a true story.
Wait, what now?
So, there. Speaking of having a disaster or a breach of your data plan, if someone did breach the data, you should have a plan of what you should do.
Right.
Well, one guy who they were describing, they had a plan. Unfortunately, that individual was not there that day. He kept the plan in the back of his car, and he didn't know where it was at.
Oh, that's exciting.
That's small business for you.
So, I mean, what are some things we could do? I mean, like, now one thing I can do is I can export all my customer contact data and save it locally to my computer. So I have that backup, and no one's going to be hacking to my computer because I'm behind firewalls and the computer's off half the time anyway. And, you know, behind routers, and on top of that, it's why would someone specifically be looking for my computer? It just doesn't happen. A lot of people worry about hackers a lot more than they really need to. But, you know,
yeah,
I could theoretically delete, like, old customer information off the server after such a period of time passes, so that in a remote event that information gets stolen off the server, you're limited to how many people you need to contact. It's only your recent active customers.
And going back to that security of having of being security minded with your company, is it takes everybody. You need to start from day one to talking to your individual people on board. Hey, look, this is what we're going to be focused on: security, security, security. And you just need to be able to understand of where your risks are. And they have something called a failure modes and effect analysis. We can talk about that more in depth next week if you want, David, because those are kind of fun to develop. And you can come up with what your risks are. And we can probably that would be a good episode next week. Let's do that.
All right.
Because it's fun to do these. Failure mode and effects. Okay. So, if you develop it internally, you can come up with ways to mitigate these problems. So, for example, with yours, you recognize that you have all that data online. You should export it from time to time. With mine, I should probably close down some of the orders and try and get rid of some of the information on there and bring it onto my computer. And then if you have it on your computer at home, you just need to have more of an influence on how much you control the data and make sure it's available to the public and how much of it's not available or how much you encrypt it.
Right, right, yeah. But if you have a web business and you're on someone else's server for being hosted, then, yeah, whatever you back up to your personal computer is your personal computer. No one in the outside world is going to access that.
Exactly.
So,
and that's an important thing to keep in consideration, is understanding the security. And this goes back to, I think we talked about this a couple episodes ago, where an individual was not oriented with their security, they were not keeping their bank account, they weren't watching their bank account all the time, and as a business owner, you do need to watch your bank account, because it can go and you don't have the same sort of protection as if you were an individual. So this individual was watching his bank account, and all of a sudden he saw all of his credit lines being drawn. And it was like $1 million. And so all of his credit lines are drawn by some person who's hacking into his account. And poof, he was able to call the bank up and say, hey, deny these credit lines. This is not me. But he ended up losing, I think it was $110,000. That just went up in smoke.
Yeah, they really need to. Identity theft and a lot of this stuff we're talking about, it's a real issue. And after we solve the healthcare bill, and then we solve Social Security, and then we solve whatever the next major crisis is. After that, they need to get to this.
You mean fabricated crisis?
Well, Social Security and healthcare, I mean, they are important issues that affect us all, so. You got a lot of baby boomers going into retirement counting on both.
Well, that means that those baby boomers should be creating more kids so they can go ahead and keep the Ponzi scheme alive.
Well, that's part of the problem. Why the stock market is struggling, why Social Security isn't doing well, is because the baby boomers slowed down having kids. Birth control became popular and socially acceptable. And shortly after that, you know, abortions became legal. The reason why the baby boomer generation is so interesting is because it's a big spurt of growth where there's a slowdown of births before it and then a slowdown of births after it. So it's like one big lump, one big mass of about 70 or plus million people all going through the same stage of life together. So what is it? Gen X is the one that come after the boomers. They're actually smaller in number. If we weren't using birth control and we weren't having abortions and all that stuff, and we were like humans in ancient generations, we'd be having more and more and more kids each new generation, and Social Security system would work fine because you'd have more people paying in than there were those withdrawing.
Yes, and so it is a Ponzi scheme. Don't anybody ever let you tell otherwise.
Yeah, that's encouraging to know. So, what do you want to do to wrap this up, Daniel?
Well, I just want everybody to keep in mind that you should be able to look online and find more information. Next week, we're going to be talking about failures, modes, and effects analysis, so you can come up with ways to mitigate risk and understand how to figure out what risks are. And, David, you have a different way of going about it, and everyone else has a different way of going about selling things online.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need to be oriented to figuring out what you do to protect the data of your customers. Because there are localized laws at the state, regional, and federal level that do apply to you as an online merchant. So with that, you've been listening to the Small Business Podcast with David Michaels and Daniel Miller. I think that's a good wrap-up. What do you think, David?
Sounds like it. Let's do it.
If you'd like to go ahead and get subscribed to our podcast, you can do so by going to smallpod.blogspot.com, and you can go and comment on our super cool commenting thing. If you'd like to go ahead and become a Facebook friend of ours, or a fan, as they call it on there, you go to facebook.com and search for
The Small Business Podcast.
If you'd like to write us an email to become an interviewee on this show, or an interviewer on this show, or anything else, you can do so by writing at smallbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to check out what David's up to, you can do so by going to
spiritualsmarts.com.
And if you'd like to order some Ranger tire paint, you can do so by going to rangerpaint.com, and you will be able to get some tricked out tires by ordering that stuff. Woo woo! So, until next week, I'm Daniel.
And I'm David.
Have a good week.
And thanks for listening.